Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
A child is born, the Son is given, the Son is given. For unto us a child is born, a Son is given, the Son is given. The Messiah, oh, to see him high and lifted up. The child is born, the Son is given, the Son is given. For unto us a child is born, the Son is given, the Son is given. The Messiah, born to see him high.
Praise. We sing this next Christmas hymn together. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Let's sing this out together.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, oh,
You're worthy to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's what's due, God. It's what you deserve, God. God, you are all those things that we sing about, God. For you alone are worthy. We'll sing this together. We'll praise your name. Sing that out.
We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. Christ the Lord. We'll praise your name forever. 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 We'll praise your name forever.
Christ the Lord. Hope was born through your miracle birth, and so we celebrate that today. God, would you speak to us as we open your word? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. While you're turning, I want you to realize that the songs we have sung today told a story on purpose. If you didn't catch it, let me recap it for you. We started with joy. Joy came to the world through the birth of the Messiah. Joy to the world. And salvation comes to you and to me as we are born again. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son. And then Isaiah prophesied that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And because of that prophecy and because of Jesus coming, the charge is clear. Oh, come, let us adore him. He is Christ the Lord. He is worthy of the entire world's praise. So we celebrate that together. And so we do celebrate today. I don't know about you guys, but I'm hot in this room today. I see several nodding heads and some fans going, so I need one brave soul in the back that will go touch the thermostat. So, Steve, you're in charge. Thank you, sir. He's coming. Listen, if you think the sound guy can't hear and he keeps the sound too loud, just wait till you see if he thinks he's warm or not. He's going to have us freezing in here. I'm just kidding. Steve does an awesome job. We're so thankful for Steve and Zach, our tech guys, and the others who volunteer back there and serve on a regular basis. They help us in such a powerful way to continue to move forward. And to provide, yes, that's, I think we should say to them, thank you. And he pulls double duty on the HVAC from time to time, so we appreciate that. So over the past several weeks, we have seen miraculous births that brought hope to individuals and hope to Israel in the scripture. We looked at Samson, we looked at Samuel, we looked last week at Isaac, each in their own ways pointed to the hope of the Messiah to come. Well, today's birth is the culmination of prophetic hope that points to Jesus. It's not Jesus today, even though it's a Sunday before Christmas. We're going to focus on the birth of Jesus Wednesday night and Friday night with carols, candles, and communion. But today, it's one final prophetic, miraculous birth that points to Jesus. Around 700 years
B.C., before Jesus came on the scene in the flesh, the Isaiah the prophet recorded the words we find in Isaiah 40. He says this, listen to the words. He says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, this verse is a prophecy about the last Old Testament prophet. He is the one, a man who would speak on God's behalf after 400 years of prophetic silence. A man who would announce the ministry of Jesus in person. He would announce it to others, and he would announce it in front of Jesus. We call him John the Baptist. The truth is, he's better called John the Baptizer. Why? The man had never seen a casserole in his life. He was not Baptist, okay? John the Baptizer. There were no Baptists back then. So his birth was miraculous, though. If you've forgotten, read it with me. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, let me stop there. What they just told us is of great importance because Zechariah comes from a very well-known line of priests, and Elizabeth comes from a very well-known line of priests. And so together, this means something that they would be united as one. Look what it says in verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Let's stop there. Where in the scripture do we see it say that a man and woman were righteous before God and walking blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord? Not many places. This couple was living out their faith. Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Just as we've seen the last few weeks with the other ladies, Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were old. They were too old to be having children, and she had been barren her entire life. And we've said this the past few weeks. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but it would be difficult for us to understand the significance of this, especially for Zechariah and Elizabeth, two people that come from a well-known line of priests. There was a high expectation of stature for these two that they would produce an heir, and the despair that this woman probably felt because it would have been considered in that time and in that day that she would have no greater job to do in all her life than produce an heir for their family. And she could not. Look at verse 8. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, realize this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. You didn't get to do this more than once. There were thousands of people that were considered priests from these different lines. And they had different divisions, and it would be different times that they would go to the temple and they would cast lots for a name for one who would go in and burn incense as worship to God and offering up of prayers to the Lord. And Zechariah was chosen by lot to go. So you'd invite your family, your friends to come and wait outside the curtain of the temple. They would come and ready. It was an exciting and a powerful and once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so here we find in verse 10 what happens. It says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. It's beautiful what the angel tells Zechariah that's going to take place. So now let me ask you this. He says, your prayer has been heard. What prayer had been heard? It does not tell us what Zechariah had been praying, But if I can give you what my guess is, and I'll be honest, I can't prove this from the scripture here, but according to what he's already prayed, and according to the fact that he was a priest, and according to the fact that it says he was righteous and holy and walked blameless before the Lord, he tried to honor the Lord. My guess is that there were three prayers that Zechariah and Elizabeth have been praying their entire life. Here's what I think very quickly. Number one, the first prayer, God, please give us a child. We know that prayer was answered because it says so. God, please give us a child. But how about this prayer, this holy, righteous, devout priest? God, please speak to your people again. He had been living in this period of silence when no prophet had come forth. Hundreds of years before he was born, no prophet had come forth. They were silently waiting for God to speak. God, please speak to your people. And then, God, please send a Messiah to save Israel. I'm certain he had prayed that time and time again, along with many of the Israelites. So think about these three prayers real quickly. How many times had Elizabeth and Zechariah asked God to give them a son? We don't know, but the book of James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. What does that mean? The effectual prayers, it's prayers that were prayed in effect to what God would want. Prayers that were fervent, continual prayers of a righteous man, he was righteous, avails much. He would have prayed over and over, God, please give us a son. God, please give us a child. God, please give us a son. And God answered that prayer. But not only that, how many times had Zechariah and many other people prayed that God would speak to your people again? 400 years of silence. They were waiting for God to speak through a prophet. Listen, we can't imagine 400 years. Our nation is nowhere close to being 400 years old, but we can hardly understand what our founding fathers went through. So think about 400 years of waiting for God to speak through a prophet. We struggle when God takes months to answer our prayers. Some of you in this room, God's taken years to respond to what you're asking. His answer has continued to be not yet, not yet, not yet, or no, no. No. And so we wait and we wait and we wait for God. I've shared this before, but it just fits. When Lily and I were adopting Moses, who is now 11 years old, but when he was a year and a half old, or almost a little over two at the time, I guess at this point, and we were adopting him, and the Ghanaian adoption was finalized there, closer to 3 years old. And then we were ready to bring him home, but we could not get the U.S. Embassy and the U.S. CIS to cooperate. And so Lily went there thinking she was going for a week. Jenny, sitting right, our wonderful piano player, went over there thinking she was going for a week, and she and Lily roomed together and were stuck there. Lily, 101 days. Jenny, I think 107 or 8 days, right around there, a week longer, just waiting. And I can know in the middle of that time, as we thought it was going to be a one-week trip and it was turning into Gilligan's Island over there, that we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and we were here with the other kids thinking we're going to have to resign the church job and just move there because he's our son. We can't leave him there. He's ours, but we can't bring him home. And so in praying in that 100 days, I can remember God was answering prayer after prayer for people, for us, and for me. I can remember praying and seeing that, except for this one prayer. When I would ask God to make a way to bring him home, it was like every time I prayed that prayer, it hit the ceiling and fall back down. It's as if God was being silent in the middle of him answering all kinds of other prayers. And I got to be honest, in that time of separation and waiting that was, and not knowing if it was going to last for years or how long it might last, I felt, I'll be honest, both close and distant to God at the same time. Have you ever been there? I felt close to him because I knew he was at work and in my life, but I felt very distant because I felt like he was saying, on this one thing, I will ignore you. And it was confusing at its best. I felt like in that time that my faith was strengthened and battered at the same time. I don't know how to explain it. I'm just telling you. But to know that God was at work and he did have a plan. So I can't fathom 400 years of waiting for God to do something that we all knew he would do, and that is speak again through a prophet. Something that we would knew that he would send a Messiah. So now God is answering their prayers. And so now he sends another prophet that will usher in the Messiah, John the Baptizer, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So how many times had Zechariah prayed for the Messiah to come? His prayers have been heard. I think multiple prayers of Zechariah were heard this day. So Zechariah's encounter with the angel in the temple is an example of hope fulfilled. If you've been walking in despair, when God shows up, it's hope fulfilled. He's been there all along. He's at work even in the suffering. He's at work even in the difficulty. He's at work in what seems like silence. I'm telling you, to bring him glory and to make you more like him, he does so. But look again at verse 15. It says, "For he, John, will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Think about that now. No one was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb for their entire life. It hadn't happened yet. It wasn't until Jesus would die and was resurrected that the disciples would be filled and that we would all be filled because of Jesus at the point of salvation for the rest of our lives. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon you for a task. You would do something and the Holy Spirit would leave you and it would come upon you. And that's how it worked. And so here, the angel is saying the Holy Spirit's going to be with John even from the womb. I love how one pastor wrote about it. I want to read it to you. It's so good. He says, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit would come upon special individuals for specific purposes. But this child is filled with this Holy Spirit in the womb. Why? Because John represents a bridge between God's promise and God's fulfillment. One commentator wrote it this way: in his intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, John the Baptizer is a precursor of God's coming ministry of the Spirit in the church, when the Holy Spirit will be given not just to a few, but to all who believe. In other words, don't miss this, John the Baptist, think of him as the page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is an Old Testament prophet, but he ministers during the age of New Testament fulfillment. What a unique and incredible individual. And so he's a bridge from the Old Testament to the New. What a powerful place he plays in this Christmas story. John was unique in his specific calling and time. There will never be another John the Baptizer. He was the only one. He was unique and he served his purpose. But hear me say this: you and I, we are just like John in our calling. Let me explain it to you. When we have been filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to announce the Messiah to all men, just the same way that John was. So when you're trying to figure out what your next step is in a situation, when you're not sure what God is asking you to do next, when you're waiting in some form of silence for God to continue to work in your life, when you're wanting to follow the plan of God, but you're unclear on what to do, remember these three words: just like John. Just like John, you should walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like John, we should announce Jesus to others. Just like John, we can publicly declare what John did when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's proclaiming with his mouth. Just like John, we can be a bridge for others to know about Jesus and to grow in him. Listen, that's our calling. That's what God has called us to do. And just like John, we can strive to be the first to point to God and to praise God in all things. I want you to think about this for a moment. John was the first to worship Jesus in the flesh on this earth. Let me show you. Look at verse 39. Skip on down. I love this. It says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." So Mary goes to see Elizabeth. Mary is pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth is pregnant with John. "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" Don't miss this. John announced Jesus from the womb. It's powerful. John worshiped Jesus before he was even born. And so Elizabeth then declares that the Messiah is coming by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then after Elizabeth does that, if you read the next passage, it says Mary then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, makes her own what we call the Magnificat. It's Mary's song. She declares that the Holy Spirit is with her, that she declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, how did all this start? All this started with John in the womb. Holy Spirit empowered John in the womb, causes enough turmoil and leaps enough that it then speaks to Elizabeth, who then proclaims the truth of who Jesus is, that then leads Mary to proclaim the truth of who Jesus is. Here's the deal. A chain reaction of praise happened that started with John. Listen, and if that can happen with a baby in the womb, imagine what God can do through a chain reaction of praise that starts with you. A chain reaction of praise that starts with me. Now listen, I got to tell you, if you've struggled to know if life begins at conception, here's your answer. This is the first person to proclaim in the flesh Jesus as Messiah to Jesus. Right here. Friends, it's important. Now listen, there are 80 verses in Luke chapter 1. We do not have time to read them all. You need to go back and read it. We haven't even talked about how Zechariah doubted a little bit and then lost. The angel took his voice away and he was mute until the baby was born and all the things that happened from that. We don't have time to cover all that. Let me simply say, go back and read it for your own. But here's what you need to know. If you read Luke chapter 1, you will find Mary's song of praise. You will find Elizabeth's confession. You will find Zechariah's prophecy and all this incredible stuff that takes place. And all of these leave no room for doubt that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Hope was born 2,000 years ago in a stable. He is the hope of the world. So what do we take away from this today? What is it that you and I are called to do today with the story of John the Baptizer? I want you to think for a moment. I said that he was a bridge from the old to the new. He was a bridge from a time of silence to an incredible time of speaking in salvation. He was a bridge from people who were walking in despair to people who were then meeting the Messiah in the flesh. Listen, friends, I believe God's called you and I to be a bridge as well. I'll tell you something that's been a conviction of mine for a couple of months now, and I've been trying to flesh out in my mind what we're going to do about it after the first of the year. And I want to tell you, I love our church. I love the fact that we are serious about reaching our city for Jesus, and that we want to bless our community, that we want to make a difference in the nation, and we want to make a difference around the world. But I'm highly convicted that having been the pastor of this church for 10 and a half years now, a little over that at this point, that if you were to ask me the truth, it's probably true for you as well. Here we are. I think of how many people live within a half mile radius of this church that we've never talked to specifically about Jesus. How many people live within a half mile of this neighborhood right this way that we've never given a personal invitation to church and to the Lord? How many people that live back on the corner of Main Street and Baltimore Avenue in that neighborhood that heads towards the cemetery, how many people within a half mile of this building that we've never been to their door to let them know that, hey, we want to care for you. We're here for you. We want to speak truth to you. How many people that live on the other side of downtown we do our best to love on our city and to reach them in different ways and to do all kinds of things, but I can't help but believe that God would not consider us responsible for the people that live a half mile from this building. I can't help but believe that that falls to us and no one else. Now, we'll share the load with First Methodist around the corner. We'll share the load with St. Paul right over here. We'll share the load with Baltimore Avenue Church of God. But the reality is, it's our responsibility. And I have a burden that we figure out some way to let our neighborhood know how much we love them and how much Jesus loves them. So we'll figure that out. We'll talk about it the first of the year. But my prayer is that we together could be a bridge for individuals, not just a bridge for our city, not just a bridge for missionaries other places. We'll keep doing that, but a bridge for local people right here in our own neighborhood to come to Jesus. What else can we take away from John the Baptizer? Here it is. Number one, don't mistake God's silence for a lack of involvement. Listen, in the silence, what we call silence, God is at work. He is at work in your life and mine. And I want to encourage you, in the middle of whatever you have going on in your life, don't think for a moment he's not involved. God took 400 years to speak through a prophet again. Why 400? I have no idea. But I know this. That's not for me to know. I know this. God showed up right on time. Not too late, not too early. Right on time. And can I tell you, in your life, God will show up right on time. Now, some of us have been mistaking God's no for his silence. You ever done that? God doesn't give you the answer you want, so you act like he hadn't told you yet. You have a child that does that to you ever? You ask for something, and they say no, and they ask again, and they say no, they ask again, and they say no. They go ask and ask the other family member. Listen, how many times have we done that to God? We say he's being silent. No, he's told you no. Some of you, listen to me. This is from the Lord today. Some of you need to hear it. No. I don't know who that's for, but somebody in here needed to hear that. Run with it, okay? But I would say this in our own lives. There are times that we see the silence and we think God's not at work. He is. He will show up on time at the right time and make us more like him and receive glory himself. That's what he's about. Second, we see this from the story that God still answers prayers just like he did for Zechariah. So continue to pray bold, kingdom-shaking prayers. Yes, pray prayers like, God, give me a child. But yes, pray prayers like, God, would you speak again and use me as your voice? Pray prayers like, God, would you allow the Messiah to penetrate this person's heart and use me as the bridge to make it happen? Pray bold, kingdom-shaking prayers. And then the last thing I really want you to remember is this. We can be just like John. The same Holy Spirit that dwelled in him from the womb until he died is the same Holy Spirit that's been in your life since the day you gave yourself to Jesus, the day you received Jesus. Understand that the scripture says the Holy Spirit sealed your salvation, the Holy Spirit drew you to God in salvation, and the Holy Spirit now empowers you through salvation for the rest of your life. So we can be like John. Each week I've given you a prayer that I encourage you to pray for the week. So here's the prayer for this week. Let me read it to you. Father God, help me be just like John. Help me to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help me to announce Jesus to others with my words. Help me to be a bridge for others to know you and grow in you. And help me to be the first to praise you and point to you in all things. Amen. That's the prayer I want to pray. That's the prayer I hope you'll pray. We'll post that on Facebook this afternoon, but you can take a screenshot now of it if you want. That's the prayer I hope you will pray and join me in praying every day. Listen, a lot of you are going to gather with family this week. And I don't know what yours looks like. Maybe yours is very nice and calmly organized and everyone does things a certain way. But maybe you get in a room and all the littles just, it's like a bomb went off and there's Christmas shrapnel everywhere and all that good stuff. How about doing something different? How about this time, would you be the one? Be just like John? Step into the room and say, before all this starts, would you humor me for 60 seconds? I just want to read the Christmas story. I want to be the bridge for the Christmas story. And then when you do that, don't read Luke chapter 2. Read John 3:16. How about be the bridge for the gospel in your family this week? You say, well, what's that going to do? I don't know. All I know is when John announced Jesus in the womb, it set off a chain reaction for Elizabeth and Mary and others that led to something beautiful and glorious and God glorifying. And who knows what God might do in your family. Will you be the one? Be the bridge this week? And then lastly, your praise has consequences. Remember that we learned from John that when we praise, it will be that chain reaction. I believe that it always is the case. When we praise God, when we glorify him, there are consequences to that. It leads to something else. Let it lead to others hearing the gospel for the first time. So I'm going to pray that prayer again now, and I'm going to ask you to join me in praying it. If you can mean that from your heart, let it be your sincere prayer today. Would you bow with me? Father God, help me to be just like John. Father, help me, help us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to announce Jesus to others with our words this week. Lord, help me to be a bridge for others to know you and to grow in you. And Father, help me to be the first to praise you and point to you in all things. I pray that every person in this room can make that our prayer right now. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, just a little moment of privacy there. What about you? Is there someone here that says, I want to be just like John? I want to be the bridge for my family, for my coworkers, for my friends, but I need the courage to do it. Would you come and pray about that? Maybe for some in here that you say, I heard the song, For God So Loved the World. I hear the words, I need Jesus. Well, if that's the case, you come. I'd love to share with you about how to receive him. Maybe for you, you're here and you realize in your own life that you've been waiting on something and God's been at work, but it has seemed awful silent to you. So now you realize and you want to proclaim and declare that God will not be late. He will not be early. He will be just right on right time at the right place for him to receive the most glory and to make us most like him. So ask God, just yield your way to his today and ask him to do that. Maybe for some of you, you want to pray a bold prayer like, God, give me a child. God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel with others, with family this week. God, use me as a bridge for your kingdom this week. For others of us, maybe you want to follow through by being an official member of the church. Some of you, you've been attending maybe a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months or longer, and you realize today that you want to help make a difference for our neighborhood, for our community. You want to be part of that bridge, and God's calling you to hear. Come, we'd love to have you be a part of what's going on. Maybe for you, you want to follow through with believers' baptism like Jody last week. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, would you respond exactly what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do? Nothing more, nothing less. No pressure from me. You do as God says and be obedient to him. And if you need prayer and come, someone will pray with you. Father God, make us just like John. Make us just like John. Lord, have your way among us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.